take their hand. Jewish Akansia, give them a fist bump. Just tell them it's great to see you. Karibuni sana. Hallelujah. Receive greetings. Receive greetings from Hekima. Receive greetings from my family. Thank you. I'm feeling so much pressure to be here. You know, yeah, the atmosphere was so dense with the presence. Wow. Wow. Amazing. I just want to invite my wife, Christine, to come and say hello. This is the way we break the atmosphere and just settle in. So let her just come and say hello. I think she's better at it than I am. Can we clap for her?
Praise God, Mount Zion. Tusalimiane hewani. How are you all doing? You look good from here. Thank you. It's a privilege to be here. I think we were last year in some time early this year in January for the prayer sessions. And we're glad to be back. Praise God.
Amen. That was brief. I thought she'd give you stories and stories upon stories. There are two young ones we left behind. One is very new to the Mount Zion ecosystem. So she said, I don't have any friends there. She didn't want to come. And the other, Amy, was feeling unwell, you know, between yesterday and today. So she felt like she should stay at home. She developed a flu. So that's why we are here, the two of us. Hopefully next week we'll come with them and one or two others just to be a part of this fellowship. I want to say, I don't know whether this will make sense, but you know, today is Pentecost Sunday. Yeah, and Pentecost Sunday is about the Holy Ghost. I like trying to align my life a bit with the Hebrew calendar, not in depth, but just what is happening. So when the Hebrew calendar is celebrating Passover, I like acknowledging that. When the Hebrew calendar is celebrating Pentecost, I like acknowledging that. When the Hebrew calendar is celebrating tabernacles, I like acknowledging that. So can we just acknowledge Pentecost for a few minutes? Is that fine? We thank God for the Holy Ghost. Are we together? You know, I've been reading on the Holy Ghost. I think this is John chapter 14. He says, talks about a comforter, talks about an advocate. But the original Greek talks about somebody who is called next to you. You know, so the Holy Spirit is called next to you. Romans chapter 10 says that the word is nigh you, even in your heart and in your mouth. It is right next to where you are. And that's how close the Holy Spirit is to where you are. So I just want us to acknowledge him, just to say, God, thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the Spirit who leads us and directs us. Hallelujah. Can we just lift up our voices where we are and just bless God for the Holy Spirit for 1 minute. Father, we bless you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for on this day of Pentecost, we celebrate the giving of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. We celebrate you for the Spirit of truth who guides us into all truth. We celebrate you for the one who is called to be next to us, called to walk with us, Lord God, throughout this life, oh God. Father, we bless you for the Holy Spirit. We celebrate you for the Holy Spirit. We just acknowledge the Holy Spirit. We honor the Holy Spirit. We honor everything that the Holy Spirit carries and everything the Holy Spirit came to do in our lives, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So I just want to honor Bishop and Reverend Estelle Kabithi and Bishop John Kabithi. I suspect he's watching us and following us, so I need to behave myself very well today. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. Yeah, we've been talking about this for a while, and we're just grateful for the opportunity to be here. We've also been praying with Bishop just through this season that God would just see him through, you know. I don't want to say much, but, you know, sometimes I look at your lives and I think, okay, there are some guys who went into the deep end. I prefer to be in the shallow end of the pool unless we are forced to. But one of the reasons why I really feel we need to honor this couple is really because of their legacy in the faith. You know, these ones were not born yesterday. They did not start this journey yesterday. They have a history. And, you know, I believe that God is a God who remembers the things that we have done. You know, he looks back at our track record and our walk with him, and he remembers. And all those things hold value in the eyes of God. And that's why it's so important every time to just honor them and to acknowledge them and to acknowledge the things that they have sacrificed for the sake of the kingdom. Are we together? I've been a pastor for a while, and I know that it is not easy being a pastor, you know, and taking care of sheep. And sometimes you're misunderstood, and sometimes people say all sorts of things about you, you know. And that's part of the journey. Initially, I'd ask God, what's wrong with this? You know, this doesn't make sense. I'm here, you know, sweating my socks off, giving my best to try and help these people become better, and they don't seem to appreciate what we are doing. But I began to realize that that's part of the journey. And if those are the battles that I have been through, I can only imagine what they have been through over the years. And sometimes it's difficult to open up and share, you know. And some of us, let me just say this, some of us have that call to stand in the gap with them, for them. Please, if that is your call, please do it. Are we together? Please do it. Don't take it for granted. Don't assume. You know, sometimes you assume the pastor is praying for everybody. I believe that in every congregation, in every community, God has raised people whose grace is to stand in the gap for the leadership. And if that is you, then do it as unto the Lord. As you do it, you yourself will receive your reward. Can somebody say amen? And today I want to talk about the courts of heaven. Tell your neighbor the courts of heaven. Yeah, and today purposely I'm holding myself, you know, because I feel it's important to just share and to understand. I think I was here a few months ago when we came for the prayer meeting, and we touched a bit on this. But when I left, I felt, you know, sometimes when you're talking about something and you've not laid a good foundation, it might be difficult for people to grasp what you're trying to talk about. So today I thought, let's just slow things down a bit and let's engage, talk about the courts of heaven, and just talk about what is happening, you know, what is God doing, and so that you and I, you know, in our own individual spaces, as we pray, as we engage, would be able to deal with the things that we need to deal with, not just from this perspective, but from the court perspective. In the book of Revelation chapter 4, John had a voice in the heaven saying, come up here, you know. And for me, that is a key verse for this season. That in this season, we are no longer governing issues from the earthly realm. We are governing issues from the heavenly realm. Are we together? That is a key verse for this season. Why? Because in this season, we're no longer governing issues from the earthly realm. We are governing issues from the heavenly realm. I believe that in this season, God is raising governing churches. God is raising churches and giving them spheres of authority and spheres of influence. And when we talk about a governing church, it is not necessarily the largest church in the neighborhood. Am I making sense? It's just a church that has understood its call, its responsibility to govern, and has responded to that call, has agreed with that call, has responded to that call. I can see I'm disturbing my camera people here. Has responded to that call. So God is raising governing churches and giving those governing churches different spheres. And part of what he's doing with these governing churches is, if you're a governing church, he's teaching you how to govern. Does that make sense? And I know that part of this assembly, we talk a lot about sonship, and we talk a lot about mature sonship. And you see, what makes somebody a mature son is his ability to govern. Are we together? You become a mature son because you can govern. You can govern your space. Government starts, let me say from this, government starts with you first. Government does not start with your neighbor. Can I say that again? Government starts with you first. Does not start with your neighbor. You start by governing yourself. And after you have governed yourself, then God begins to give you influence or authority to govern your neighbor. You know why? It is easier to govern the person next to us than to govern ourselves. Yes. I think I'm talking to a few people who are married here, and you understand what I'm talking about. It is easier to govern your neighbor than to govern yourself. Now, Brian is sitting in front of me, so Brian will be my guinea pig. You know, Brian, how easy is it to correct your wife than to correct yourself? Is she here? Let's make sure she's not. She's here. Wow. Okay. If she's here, let's just keep quiet. We don't want to cause chaos. But it's easier. It's easier to deal with the person next to you than to deal with yourself. But yet, when God is calling us to govern, the first place God is calling us to deal with is ourselves. We deal with our own house first before we begin to deal with the environment that he's put us in. So God has called us, for example, as Mount Zion. He has called us to Karen, and he's given us authority in this area of Karen. But before we begin to exercise authority over Karen, we need to first exercise authority over ourselves. What are the things that God needs to govern in our own lives? What are the things that God needs to deal with in our own lives? I put it this way, we need to deal with our junk. Hallelujah. Does anybody here not have junk? Apart from Reverend Estelle and Bishop John, does anybody here, you know, we all have junk. Am I making sense? We all have junk. And the first area of government is governing your junk. Deal with your issues. There's one time, God speaks to me a lot in dreams, and God speaks to us as a community a lot in dreams. And there's one time I had this dream, beautiful house. I think it was a three-story house, beautiful. You know, I was on the lower ground floor, beautiful. Then when I got outside the house, I saw a lot of garbage, you know. I'm not sure whether I saw animals had come to eat that garbage and it was all messed up. And I'm wondering, what's the meaning of this dream? Until I began to realize that that dream is a reflection of my life. That there's a part of my life that is beautiful, that is all ordered. Hallelujah. But there's a part of my life that has stuff, you know, it's been hidden in the backyard where nobody can see. And that stuff needs to be worked through and that stuff needs to be dealt with. And I think that is not my story alone. Hello? That is not my story. I believe every one of us. And I think for me, the I discovered this when I got married. You know, I thought I was perfect until I got married. Hallelujah. How many men can agree with that statement? We were perfect until we got married. Then when we got married, we discovered imperfection number one, and we thought it was just number one only. Then imperfection number two. Then all of a sudden, the book was filled with imperfections. This and that and the other and the other and the other. So, but that's the way it is. And God wants us to deal with our junk before we can deal with what is happening outside there. I just want to give you some stories. There's a couple early this year, I think, they had traveled to their rural home. And, you know, for almost 40 plus years, husband, their parents had separated. Their parents would talk nominally. You know, nominally means, you know, oh, so-and-so is getting married, you need to come for the wedding. Oh, this is happening, you need to do this. That kind of talk, but nothing intense. And so this lady's not in Kenya. She traveled from outside the country. And she came purposely to see her dad, you know, because they've been supporting the mom. And they came purposely to see the dad. And they went to see him, and I think Christine traveled with them, and they came back. And one day we felt we needed to do a court session concerning them and concerning the family. So we did a court session. We brought their issues. And you see, because it was so important for us to do the session with them, because I can't do a court session on your behalf. You understand what I'm saying? It's you who needs to take responsibility for yourself. So we did a court session with them, and we, you know, the issues, as we are praying, sometimes some issues come up because by understanding. You know, you can walk into an area and you can know that these are the issues that are in that family or the issues that they are struggling with. But you can also walk into an area and you can know issues by revelation. Is what I'm saying strange? You can begin to feel. Now, those of us, and I know that this is also a prophetic campaign, you can begin to feel. You may not explain why you feel certain things, but you can begin to feel that this and this needs to be addressed. Or this and this needs to be addressed. And when you begin to engage at the level of the courts, some of it is by understanding. Some of it we can already see, you know. You don't need a gift of the Spirit, you know. Building a church in Karen, for example, is not easy. There's a lot of warfare in this region. Am I making sense? So if I'm praying on behalf of Mount Zion and I'm going to the courts, I would know that there's a lot of warfare in this area because of the space, the environment that you guys are in. The environment is anti-God. The environment is anti-Christ. Am I making sense? And if one of the accusations or one of the accusers that you're probably contending with is an anti-Christ spirit standing there and just railing against you for every small thing, every small step that you go wrong, railing against you and trying to look for an opportunity to attack. That is obvious. That is, do you need a gift of the Spirit to do? But there are some parts of what you're going through that is going to have to take place by revelation. Where God is going to have to open our eyes and show us this happened and this person is holding this against you. And this is what the accuser is presenting before the Father on your behalf. So we gathered and we are praying part of it by revelation and part of it by what we understood. And we did a court session that evening, and the following day they call us or they text us. And they said, you know, their father and their mother have only talked nominally for about 40 years. But that day, this is the day after we've done the session, the mother calls the father and they talk for 4 hours. I don't know. For me, you know, when these things happen, I feel like this is a confirmation about something that is going on here. We were asking them the other day about some of the things that were happening at home. And they talked about restoration. They talked about how, as a family, they had been so divided, especially about how to take care of their dad. But now God is beginning to restore that. And God is beginning to, they're beginning to raise funds to invest back at home where their father is. And not just take care of the father, but take care of the family estate. It's like a whole lot of things just begin to fall into order. I know that part of it was the prayers that they made in their rural home. But part of it was that court session that we did. And then they gave us another story. They said that one of their sons, after we did that court session, one of their sons was being accused. Accusations were being raised against him. Accusations of this and accusations of that. And they didn't know how to deal with those accusations. And they did a court session. And when they did that court session, the son was, you know, because they're in Europe, so the son is, you're a black person in a white environment. I think you can fill in the blanks. And the son was being accused of doing this and doing that. But after they raised that court session, when they went to address the issue, they found that the senior person in that community said, look, that is not an issue. Stop accusing this boy of this and this and this. That story came to an end. Court sessions. I could give you stories of, there's a lady that we, what happened to this lady? She started working, I think, last year during the COVID season. She's been looking for a job for about 4 or 5 years. And during this COVID season, she began working. And as she was working, within 2 weeks, 1 week after she had stepped into work, her back began to pain. And the pain was so intense that by the end of that month, she was no longer at work. By the end of 1 month, she's already exhausted her medical allowance. She could not sleep. She couldn't even sleep, you know. In bed, you're tossing and turning. Going to sleep is an issue. Waking up is an issue. We had no idea. But the minute we got an idea of what was going on, we called her in, and we just gathered as a few of us, you know, a few of the intercessors. And we were saying, look, this is a journey. This is an opportunity for us to experiment and to test whether what we're seeing is actually true. And we began to engage with her and to discuss with her, talk to her about, her history, where she come from, some of the challenges she's gone through. And we began to pray. And as we prayed, we addressed it from the court issue. That pain did not go away completely immediately. But when I called her 2 days later, on a scale of 1 to 10, the pain had dropped from 10 to about 3 within 2 or 3 days. I'm making sense, yeah. I'm just trying to say that when these things began to happen, we felt like there's something here. I could give you stories about, bigger issues than that, but for now, let's just stop there. But he told me that there's something here. And he told me that sometimes some of the things that we're contending with in our families and in our homes and in our businesses, because one of the people that we did this concerning was a business, and that business was they were subletting, and they were paying to their chief tenant or to a major tenant who was supposed to be paying to the landlord, but was not paying on time. So every time, because this guy his rooms were being locked, their rooms were also being locked. And this particular day when we took this to court, that day, as it were, they had just locked their rooms. And within 3 days, again, they were just given complete liberty. They were told, no longer engage with us, engage directly with the landlord. And that issue, whatever issue we're presenting before the courts, that issue was dealt with and came to an end. This does not just work for territory. This works for individuals. This works for families. Are we together? This also works for businesses. So if we can begin to understand this and we can begin to practice this, then we can begin to understand that we can apply this to our business, because sometimes, even when we're in the arena of business, we are contending. Business is a contention. Sometimes your neighbor comes, but your neighbor is not after your own interest. Am I not right? Your neighbor comes and he is trying to do his best to steal your clients. And when I'm saying steal your clients, I'm not saying steal in the natural. I'm talking about steal in the spiritual. And you see, if you don't understand how to engage at that level, we find ourselves going round in circles and wondering what is the problem. Now, it does not mean that every story that we've had has been a success story. But everywhere where there has been no success story, it's just a matter of time before God begins to unlock to us or show us what the problems were. There's this particular lady we're dealing with, and I know because a lot of our guys have dealt with the courts, you know, and her friends were taking her to the courts because she had a severe back pain. And they went and they kept praying and interceding and standing in the courts and standing up on her behalf. And one day she said she woke up in the evening, she just sat up and the pain was gone completely. 2 or 3 weeks later, the pain comes back. She goes to a prayer meeting of a lady, Mama D's prayer meeting. And that particular day, there was a guy who had come, and one of his areas of specialty is the courts. They went, prayed over her, the pain went. 2 weeks later, the pain came back. So you can see it's like we're going and coming and going and coming. And one day in a dream, one of us saw that she had to contend with 5 issues. I can't explain this. You know, sometimes spiritual things, but one issue, I'm trying to remember what the first issue was, and it came out very clearly, this is the first issue, but there are 4 other issues that you need to deal with. So you need to study and find out by revelation what these issues are, and as you deal with these issues, then you'll begin to walk in full freedom where your back is concerned. There's a guy called Mahesh Chavda. Mahesh Chavda had one time was praying for, I need to keep an eye on time. Okay. Thank you. Okay. So Mahesh Chavda was praying for this guy who needed deliverance. And the first day came, this guy was brought in and he came and he prayed for the guy and the anointing came down and the fire of God came down and the guy was totally delivered. Guy went home, came back the following day, like nothing has happened. So the second day, prays for the guy, anointing comes down, fire from heaven, release fire. What do you do? The swords from heaven, what else? You know, you release all those things that you know from heaven. The guy is delivered, goes home, comes back the following day, back to square one. And he did this about 7 times. And he's telling God, God, you're embarrassing me. And at the 7th time after he did that, the guy was completely healed. And he began to ask God, God, what exactly is the problem? And God spoke to him that that guy had 7 chains that were tying him. And every time you're dealing with him, you are dealing with 1 chain. So he brought him back 7 times, and they dealt. And once the 7th chain was dealt with, that issue was completely dealt with. What I'm saying here is that sometimes you may go to the courts and you may find an issue has not been dealt with. It does not mean that the courts are not working. It might mean that we need to get deeper revelation of some of the issues that you are contending with. Am I making sense? And not every issue is a court issue. So it is not that every day in the morning you'll find us in the courts. Not every issue is a court issue. Not every legal issue in the natural is a court issue. But when you begin to see issues that ordinary prayer is not dealing with, when you begin to see issues, I have prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and this issue has not changed, then that is likely to be a court issue. Can I say that again? When you're dealing with an issue that has not changed, that you prayed about this issue, and you have prayed about it and prayed about it and prayed about it, and it has not changed, then that is likely to be a court issue. Hallelujah. Can somebody say amen? Hallelujah. All right. So I just want to give you some reference material that you can go through. Probably have just 1 or 2 weeks to talk about this, but it doesn't mean that the learning stops. You can all go and research on this. There's a man called Robert Henderson. I think right now he's at the forefront of teaching about the courts of heaven. I think there's a message he did. I don't know whether it's in New Zealand. You can get this on YouTube. Please go and listen to his messages. Are we together? About 7 or 8 messages. Fantastic. Excellent. Message on the courts. There's somebody else called Ron Horner. Ron Horner also talks a lot about the courts. I'm giving this so that you can continue. In fact, maybe so that this week you can go and research. So by the time you come next week, we don't even need to preach. We just begin to engage from the beginning to the end of the service. Ron Horner talks about a lot. I find Ron Horner very technical where the courts are concerned. And when you listen to him, you'll understand what I'm saying. But that's another person to listen to. There's a lady called Cheryl Davis. Cheryl Davis was in Kenya a few years back, I think in 2019 or 2018. She was in Langata. You were there. Yes, talks a lot about the courts. I think one of the early pioneers of the court message, at least in this country. And fourthly, a man called Ian Clayton, whose stuff is very difficult to get, but he talks a lot about the courts. So let me just give you some scriptural foundation for what we're talking about, so that by the time we come back, you can begin to, this can make sense. Psalms 89, verse 14 says that righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. Tell your neighbor, righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Justice, that justice means that there is a legal system. There's a judicial system in heaven. And that is the foundation of his throne. That is the foundation of his authority. There is no authority, or rather the authority of God cannot be separated from that judicial system of heaven. So when we begin to understand how the judicial system of heaven operates, and we begin to understand how to be correctly aligned with it to get whatever breakthroughs that we need to get, then we will know how to make it work in our favor. If we don't understand how this judicial system operates, we can end up going round and round and round in circles and not really coming to a place of breakthrough. There are different types of prayer based on how we approach God. We approach God as Father. The Bible says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Are we together? And many times when we're approaching God as Father, we're approaching him because of our needs. We approach God as friend. The Bible talks about how if your friend comes at night looking for something to eat, you go to your neighbor's house and you look for the friend who is closest to you and you knock at his door. And he says, because of importunity, that man will open his door for you. We can approach God as friend, but we can also approach God as judge. And when you're approaching God as judge, it is because we're understanding that there is a judicial system, that there is a legal system in heaven. And what we're trying to do here is we're trying to engage with that judicial system so that we may get judgments in our favor. When we approach God as a judge, we are praying from the courts of heaven. And when we approach God as a judge, we are dealing with accusations that the enemy has against us. Now, I don't know how many of you have heard this, but many times, I mean, this happened to me 2-3 times, at least since we started dealing with the courts, where I would have a dream. And in that dream, I would see, in this particular dream, for example, I would see myself being given a portion of land. And then as the land is about to be given to me, someone would come and say, no, that person should not be given that land, and raise issues. And this land that I was entitled to, I was not given. Am I the only one who's had that kind of dream? Every time I think about land, I think about an inheritance. Inheritances, things that you're entitled to, things that God has in store for you since the foundation of the world. But somebody comes up and for some reason says, has an accusation against you. And because of that accusation, what you are entitled to, you cannot receive. And you see, when you begin to understand things from the court's perspective, then you begin to understand that there is a case against me. And that case, that is the reason why I'm not able to walk into a fullness of some of these inheritances. As we deal with that case, as you deal with the accusations, as you deal with what the enemy has against you, as you deal with what is being held against you, then those accusations are cleaned out. I know Pastor Estelle and Bishop John know our history. And you know, one of the things we discovered many times is prophets would come to our church and say, you need to deal with this. And we ask, what do you mean we need to deal with that? Because as far as we are concerned, those issues are not there. After some time, another prophet comes, you need to deal with this. And those issues kept coming up. And I'm wondering, where are these issues coming up from? Until I remembered that some of those issues were in our history. And because we had not brought some of the things in our history to the cross, we had assumed that it was done and we had not brought it to a cross. It's like the enemy was holding that against us and accusing us because of those things. And the day we dealt with those things, we just brought them to a cross. A simple repentance. That was it. That issue ended. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Luke chapter 18, verse 1 to 8. He says, then he spoke a parable to them that men ought always to pray and not to lose heart, saying that there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard men. Now there was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. A judge who did not fear God nor regard men. But this lady kept saying, give me justice from my adversary. And he's talking about prayer. And what Jesus is saying here is that prayer is like a court case. That one aspect of prayer is not just presenting your requests to him. Prayer is also understanding that there are legal issues that sometimes you need to deal with if you're going to get your breakthrough. And this lady keeps coming and persisting before the unrighteous judge. And Jesus says, how much more shall our Father, who is a righteous judge, respond on our behalf? How much more shall he break through on our behalf? How much more shall he grant the request that we're looking for? Again, Jesus is saying there is a judicial system. And this judicial system determines the answers to our prayer lives. And so when you find yourself in a situation where this prayer is not being answered, this situation is not being responded to, then there's probably something working against you at that level. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, he says, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, because the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. The accuser of our brethren. We know what Satan is called. Satan is called the accuser of the brethren, and he's accusing day and night. This is 24/7 accusation. That word accuser comes from the Greek word. In the Greek, it means complainant at law. So the accuser is not just throwing words at you, but the accuser is turning the legal system against you. And is causing this legal system that was supposed to be working for you to work against you. And if you don't understand how to get this legal system to work in your favor, you don't understand how to get this legal system to work for you, then the accusations stick. In fact, one of the favorite examples, and I know that Word of Faith, people preach this a bit differently. We talk about the fear of Job. But Job is a case, for example, a case study in this regard. Because the accuser comes before God. There's a counsel that is sitting in heaven. I think this is Job chapter 1. Counsel that is sitting in heaven. And as this counsel sits in heaven, the Bible says the sons of God had come before him. And every time I would read the story of Job, I don't know whether that surprises you, I'd keep wondering, why is the accuser there? And the accuser shows up. And God begins to boast about Job, says, have you seen my servant Job? And the accuser says, does he fear you for nothing? Stretch out your hand and do this. And if you listen to Word of Faith, and I'm not saying that this is wrong, Word of Faith will tell you that it is because of the fear of Job. The court system will tell you, Job should have been there. When those accusations were being presented, Job should have been present. When those accusations were being presented, Job should have been in tune with what was going on in heaven to do what? To listen in on the accusations. But when the accusations were presented, Job had no idea about what was going on. And if you look through the book of Job, Job keeps saying, I wish I had an advocate. I wish I had somebody to contend with this thing on my favor. But when the accusations were being presented, where was Job? You know, when some of these nations, African nations, got independence, the night, I heard this story, that the night before one of the African nations got independence, everybody was celebrating. I don't know, some of you look like you might have been there at that time, you know. Everybody was celebrating and was so excited about the turning of this nation to independence. But that night, in some countries, the witch doctors, the shamans, the high priests of the kingdom of darkness were busy dedicating that nation to the kingdom of darkness. And so what happened for some of these nations for many years, instead of these nations are beginning to move on or push on or move forward, these nations began to go downhill. It's almost like they got independence, and instead of that independence becoming a breakthrough, it became downhill, because you and I, who are the sons of the kingdom, were not present or were not alert to what was going on. So the enemy took advantage of that vacuum to do what? To secure the destiny of that nation. Am I making sense? And part of the reason why this happened was because the sons of the kingdom did not understand how to govern and how to legislate the destiny of nations. Are we together? But what God is doing now is God is raising generations and giving us understanding and insight that this is how to legislate or to govern this situation. About a month ago, we met a lady. She comes from South Africa, and she was saying that a few of them have been praying for Africa and for the nations. And they said that this season, there is a shift that is taking place in terms of leadership in Africa. Amen. And she spoke to us about this nation. And she said that you guys need to govern our elections. And when she said govern our elections, she said, don't take sides. Don't take sides. You can't come and govern this election and say, I am on this side. Am I making sense? We must govern it from a kingdom perspective. He said, when you begin to pray about this, don't even say, I'm praying for so-and-so, so-and-so. We are governing it from the kingdom perspective. I don't know if I'm making sense. And one of the keys to governing what happens in this nation, election, post-election, is the courts. That's one of the keys. At that time, I didn't understand. I'm trying to grasp. What are you trying to say? What are you trying to tell us? How do we govern this nation? Until one day it occurred to me, God is saying, we can use the courts to begin to govern issues concerning this nation. And I'm sort of throwing that challenge to you. If you are a son of the kingdom, you don't need to be told govern. I don't know if I'm making sense. You're not waiting for somebody to say, hey, it's time to pray for the nation, for you to pray for the nation. Because you're a son, you take responsibility. You take responsibility based on your sphere of influence and your sphere of authority. You're not waiting for somebody to blow a whistle somewhere and tell you that this is time to do this. Instead, because you have that call to sonship, you have that mandate to begin to bring, like Pastor Toby was saying, bring the kingdom of God into our space and into our environment. What do? You take responsibility. Sons take responsibility. We're not waiting to be told what is going on. We're not waiting to be told we need to do this or do that. We take responsibility. You take responsibility for your space. You take responsibility for your sphere. You take responsibility for the space that God has put you in. Where has God positioned you? Take responsibility. Are we together? Begin to govern that space as a son. So Job was not there. And when Job was not there, and because Job was not there, there are some things that began to take place in that nation, or rather in Job's life, that he could not explain. And sometimes there are things that take place in our lives that we can't explain. When we look at why is it that it seems like life, by the way, the Jews believe that life is cyclical. Are we together? But instead of cyclical downwards, it should be cyclical upwards. So this year, some of the tests that you're experiencing this year, you'll experience next year. You just need to make sure that by the time next year comes around, you are in a better position than you are this year. That scripture that says he leads me in paths of righteousness. That scripture is actually he leads me in cycles or circles of righteousness. These are circular paths. And these circular paths are supposed to be taking us from one level of glory to another. We need to make sure that where we are next year is not where we are this year. We need to make sure that 2 years from now, we're not where we are today. Are we together? But if where you are next year is worse than where you are this year, there's a problem. That is not a cycle that is moving upwards. That is a cycle that is moving downwards. We need to ask ourselves, why is this cycle not progressing forward? Why is it progressing backward? Why are we not moving deeper and deeper into the agenda of God, the calling of God, the purposes of God for our lives? Why are we stagnant? Why are we struggling? And I'm trying to point out to you here that there are probably legal cases that the enemy has against you, and that's why you are where you are. And as we begin to address those legal cases, and sometimes addressing those legal cases might not be a one-day affair. Sometimes it might be a journey of just dealing with these issues. And as you deal with the issues, then God begins to open the heavens and shows you not only are these the issues that you've been contending with, but now I'm bringing you to a place of freedom. I'm bringing you to a place of liberty. I'm bringing you to a place of the fullness of the blessing. So when you look at your life and you find areas where things have been going, not positive circles, negative circles, that's an opportunity for you to begin to engage with God. What's the problem? What are the issues? Why are we not breaking out of this cycle? If you look at 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 19 to 23, there are different types of courts. When you begin to engage with the courts, when you begin to engage with some of these people, I will not go too deep into this, but there are different types of courts. And in 1 Kings chapter 22, 19 to 23, it talks about a court case that was determining the destiny of that nation. And in this court case, what happened was God was asking, who will lead Ahab out to battle? And somebody came and said this, and somebody else came and said that. Then a lying spirit came up and said, I shall go and I shall be a lying spirit in the mouths of the prophets. Wow. I don't know whether that shakes you, but that shakes me. I will be a lying spirit in the mouths of the prophets. We honor the prophets, but sometimes we need to be careful. I don't know if that making sense. We honor the prophets, but sometimes we need to be careful. You know, in the run-up to this election, we've been discussing with different people, you know, what are the prophets saying? And this prophet is saying this, and this prophet is saying that, and this prophet is saying this, and this prophet is saying that. We honor the prophets, but sometimes there is a lying spirit. And part of that is almost like a judgment. I don't know whether I'm making sense. Look at what happened in the U.S., for example. You just think about what happened in the U.S. Because about 80, 90% of the prophets were on one side. I keep asking, what happened? What went wrong? What went wrong? And it tells me that sometimes you need to learn to hear God for yourself. Hear God for yourself. Don't hear God through somebody else. We thank God for all these people that God sends into our lives. Are we together? But you need to learn to hear God for yourself. You need to train yourself. You know, it is easier to delegate hearing the voice of God to somebody else. And it is possible that other people are better or sharper or have that gift operating in their lives. But at the end of the day, God holds you responsible for the decisions that you're going to take and you're going to make. As a son of the kingdom, as a son of light, when you begin to govern, make sure that you hear God for yourself. Don't judge based on what somebody else has said. Are we together? So they may say this, or they may say that. That is what they said, but what has God told you? When we begin to stand in the gap for this nation, and we begin to govern issues concerning this nation, it is not what Prophet so-and-so said. Am I making sense? It is what God have you said. Unless you are convicted that what that prophet said was true. But God, what have you said? What have you said about this nation? One of the things that I felt one time when God was dealing about, after this lady spoke and dealing about governing this nation, is we need to bring repentance for the issues of our front runners. All of them. All of them. Not one of them. All. All. Why? Because those are some of the things that the enemy is using as a stepping stone to do what? To cause us to think a certain way. There's a veil. Sometimes I feel like there's a veil that has covered. And the Bible talks about a veil that has covered the nations. And we need to press through that veil. And when we press through that veil, we will see clearly. But we are not seeing clearly because sometimes there's a veil. And we think we are hearing, but it's not God that we are hearing from. We think we are seeing, but it's not God we are seeing from. And sometimes it's a place of just pressing through and pressing through until we pass through this veil, we pierce this veil, and we come to a place where things are just clear. And the same thing even in your own individual life. I'm talking about at a national level, but even in your own individual life, sometimes there's a veil. Sometimes there are things that are blinding, and you need to keep pressing and keep pursuing until you break into a place of clarity where this becomes clear. Because why am I not seeing? Why am I not hearing? Why am I not sensing? Why are we moving round in circles? Sometimes there's a covering, and that covering is blinding you from what is going on, and we need to keep pressing. And I want to encourage you, keep pressing. Hallelujah. Daniel chapter 7, verse 9 to verse 10. And I want us to start doing a bit of praying here. It says, I watched till the thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was as white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was like a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from him, and thousands upon thousands ministered to him, and 10,000 upon 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated. So the Ancient of Days comes, sits down, and all these things are happening around him, fire around him, people ministering to him. Then all of a sudden, the Bible says the courts were seated, and what happened? And the books were opened. Where that word books is concerned, I think some translations use the word scrolls. I like the word scrolls. Maybe it's King James. Maybe it sounds a bit more King James. You know, some of you guys like NIV. I like King James. You know, but the scrolls were opened. And you know, in heaven, there are books. Not book singular. There are books plural. Are we together? And these books talk about different things. There are books that talk about, there's a book of life, for example. And whoever's name is written in the book of life, you can be assured that you're getting to heaven. And I think you remember this guy a few years back who I was saying, if you want to find out whether your name is in the book of life, you can go and consult him. Is it 500 shillings or 1,000? And you confirm whether your name is in the book of life. But there are books. In Psalms 139, he talks about the days of my life were written in your book. There's a book that contains the days of your life. There's a book that contains your destiny. There's a scroll that contains your destiny, that contains the path that you're supposed to walk in, that contains your future. There's a scroll that contains the destiny of nations, that this is where this nation is supposed to be. And when the courts were seated, the books were opened, because those books are some of the things that the court makes decisions using. When a court makes a decision either in your favor or against you, it is because of the book that has been written about you. What is it that God has ordained for you? What is it that God has spoken about in terms of your destiny? Many times when a prophetic word is coming out concerning ourselves, that prophet is reading from our books. He might not say that this is what your book says, but in the book in heaven, this is what is written about you, that you shall be a prophet to the nations, that you shall be a financier, that you shall be a this and you shall be a that. And when the courts sit, decisions are made in line with the books. Now, what I'm trying to say is this, is that sometimes you go to the courts because the enemy is contending against that which has been written about us. There are prophetic words some of us have been given about wealth and about resource. When we go to the courts, God, this is what you said. This is what the book said. This is what has been written about us. But we can't see this. And the enemy is contending against this. So we begin to petition the courts in line with that which is written about us. You see, one aspect, and that's why I said, one aspect is what is written. This is what is written. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Whoever loves it shall eat the fruit thereof. That is one aspect of what has been written. But there's another aspect of what has been written that is revelation, where God reveals this thing to you. This is where you're supposed to be going. This is your future. This is what has been said about you. Can I push this a bit? You know, a few months ago, I think at the prayer meeting that we had, God began dealing with us about praying, investing more in prayer. So we began praying in the mornings. We began praying from 5 to 6 almost every morning on Zoom. We stopped our evening meeting, began praying in the morning. And as we began praying in the morning, we also pray for nations. And as we were praying for nations, God began to speak to us about the scroll for nations. Recently, for example, Democratic Republic of Congo has become a part of the East African community. What is the scroll concerning Kenya and DRC? What is our relationship supposed to be like? Is it just about, and I am very sure that that decision, I'm almost 100% sure that that decision was made based on there's wealth in Congo, Kenya can be an avenue for that wealth. But you see, a man makes his plans, but the Lord directs his steps. What does heaven see about this relationship? What is written in the scrolls? Because there must be an edict from heaven that governs this relationship. So that when we begin to pray about the relationship between Kenya and DRC, we say, God, this is what is written in your scroll. This is the relationship that we're supposed to engage with. I was sharing with somebody the other day, we were talking about how even, for example, when the government makes a decision to build a road, we have a responsibility as a church to pray for that road. This dual carriageway that comes to Karen is supposed to pass through, is through here, and come go to Galeria. Then after it goes to Galeria, it's supposed to connect to Ongata Rongai. Yes? When it does that, what happens to you? What happens to this area? So what is your responsibility? To steward it. Am I not right? To govern it. And because, you see, as these plans are being made, the enemy also has his plans. Yes? And one of his plans, for example, is to steal from that agenda and do what? And divert that resource. That's one of his plans. Another plan is to divert that road. Instead of that road going through here, that road might go through behind here. Because somebody has a shamba. Are you getting my point? Are we together? So if we don't begin to stand and steward, then we are actually opening the door for the enemy to do what? To come in and subvert some of these strategies. So when I come in as a son, I begin to govern. I ask God, God, what have you written about Karen? What have you written about Ongata Rongai? What are the things that you have said? Then I begin to do what? I begin to bless that area. I begin to go to the courts of heaven on behalf of that area. I begin to petition the kingdom of God. I petition the courts of heaven. Let judgments be released in favor of this which has been written about this space. Are we together? So that the purposes of God and the agenda of God and that which God ordained from the foundation of the world, that agenda would come to pass. The other option is we become passive and we do what? And we complain. Hey, they were supposed to make a road. They have not made that road. Somebody has eaten that money. Hey, there was supposed to be a road to Rongai. Somebody, let me tell you, I know a number of you stay in Rongai. If that road reaches Rongai and you own a house in Rongai, that is retirement. Am I not right? That is it. The cost of that property just shoots through the roof. So if you're praying and you have a house in Rongai, you have every reason to pray. I don't know if that making sense. You see, as sons, we have a responsibility to govern. And sometimes we are so divorced from what takes place in terms of the government. We say, no, that was a government decision. That was not our decision. But we understand that we have a part to play. Because when these things, when Kenya progresses, for example, that means our children have jobs. Are we together? It means our children have a future. It means resource. When we are praying, for example, at one point we are praying for Kenya Airways because we know that Kenya is a springboard for the gospel. So if Kenya Airways goes down, what happens to this nation? So as we present our cases to God, we are asking God, it is our interest that this organization stands. Are we together? Because when it stands, it benefits the nation. It benefits the destiny that we have, the future that we have, the purposes that this nation has. So when we look at that scroll and we begin to say, God, this is what your scroll said. Kenya is called to be a father nation. Kenya is called to be a foundation, a springboard for the gospel in Africa. Because this is what our scroll says, we ask you to judge in our favor where Kenya Airways is concerned. Everything that is antagonizing or fighting your plan for this organization, we ask you to fight against it. Are we together? Everything that agrees with your plan, we ask you to bless it. Because we understand that judgments, when the courts are seated, scrolls are opened. Scrolls concerning our children. Scrolls concerning our children. How do you make decisions for your children? Father, what is written about this child in their scroll? And that's why I'm saying a part of this is by instruction. And a part of this is by revelation. We will not be able to step into some of these things until we grow in our capacity for revelation. We need to train ourselves. We need to develop ourselves as a Christian community to walk in revelation. It cannot just be the prophets alone walking in revelation. It cannot just be the prophets alone who know how to hear God's voice. And we have delegated the capacity to hear God's voice to the prophets. You and I need to hear God's voice for ourselves, for your business, for your enterprise. Are we together? And as we begin to engage with the courts, and I hope we'll do more practical steps next week, sometimes there are no right or wrong answers. You know, when you're hearing God's voice, you're afraid to share. Hearing God's voice. You're afraid to share. Why? Because I might be wrong. I tell people there are no right or wrong answers. Take what you've heard and put it on a shelf. And pray through it. Don't make a decision on it, but pray through it. And as you pray through it, God will begin to make it clear whether that was His voice or that was your voice. So we don't start from right or wrong. We start from what have you heard? And as you keep developing it, as you keep working on it, as you keep, you know, this thing becomes sharpened. It becomes better through use. The first time you use it might not make sense. The second time you do it might not make sense. But by the time you do it the third time, the fourth time, the fifth time, you become better and sharper. In Hebrews chapter 5, I believe it is, verse 14, it says a strong meat is for those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern. That word discernment, the ability to tell between that which is good and that which is wrong, it comes by exercise. If we don't exercise our senses, we don't exercise our capacity to hear the voice of God, then why does God speak? If you're not going to, but the more you exercise, the more you work on that capacity, you may be wrong, but it's fine. We don't start, even the most senior prophet got something wrong once, at least once in his lifetime. Are we together? So you may be wrong, but keep exercising that gift. Are we together? Keep working on that gift. Keep subjecting it to your authority. Keep coming to your leaders and tell your leaders, this is what I saw. What do you think about this? Because you are testing your gift until your gift becomes so sharp that we can depend on it. There's a time when we will need to depend on that gift. Are we together? We don't wait for wartime to develop that gift. In a time of peace, that's when we develop that gift. So that in a time of war, when we need to hear God's voice accurately, that gift has been so developed that we know when God speaks through you, God is speaking. I don't know if I'm making sense. Sharpen what you have. Develop what you have. Sharpen what you have. Develop what you have. You may start off wrong. That is fine. There are no right or wrong answers. When we begin to engage at the courts, there are no right or wrong answers. What do you feel? If I asked you today, do you sense accusation against you? Can I do that altar call? How many of us sense accusations against them? Now, this one you will not answer, but where do you sense those accusations from? Write it down. Write it down. Have you heard what I've asked? Let me ask again. Do you sense accusations against you? Where do you sense those accusations are from? Now, if you went to the witch doctor will tell you, you see that brother of yours? That brother of yours, that's all like, am I making sense? Look, God is love. Eh? So when you go to a court, by the way, don't bring people to the court. We bring issues. I know that's making sense. Because sometimes we think that now this is an opportunity to bring my brother to the court. No. You know, don't bring him to the court. You bring issues. So if he is using words against you, I'm not bringing him to the court. I'm bringing his words. Father, there are accusations against me. There are accusations against my business. There are accusations against my family. There are people who said, this thing shall not last. That's what they said. And so I petition you today, because of the blood, yeah, I repent. Whatever I might have done to agree with those accusations, first you deal with yourself, I repent. And now that blood does what? That blood cleanses. That blood blots out every reason that the enemy may have to accuse you. The accuser no longer has a foot to stand on. So now we silence every voice of accusation. And we petition heaven to divorce us or separate us from that agreement or that covenant in the name of Jesus. And that is it. Because you understand where the accusation is from. But if that sense of accusation continues, then you go back to God. You go back to Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I sense accusations against me. Where are these accusations? It looks like you guys are fine. You know, maybe it's me who has all these issues. You know, sometimes you go into a place and it's like people are looking at you like, you're the only one who has those issues. As we are fine. As we are going to heaven, perpendicularly. No full stops, no commas. Like what I'm saying is completely strange. Okay. Hallelujah. So sometimes we need to deal with those accusations. Sometimes the enemy brings up, not sometimes, many times the enemy brings up these issues against us. And we need to deal with these issues. I think I need to be winding up here. This is Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1. It says, then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand. Every time you see that word Satan, the accuser. Every time you see that word Satan, Satan is the accuser. That's what it really means. So this is the high priest. I'm telling you, even high priests, even your leaders, the enemy is standing to accuse. This is the high priest. And Satan is, and the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? And the Bible says there, verse 3, that Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. We'll talk about this maybe next week, but when you enter into a court realm, they're angels. So one of the ways of activating your angels is understanding that they're there before the courts. How many of you know that you have an angel? You know that. How many of you take time to activate your angel? Okay. One of the things you need to understand is whenever you enter the courtroom, there are angels. If I'm entering the courtroom, for example, for over this nation of Kenya, one of the things I do, I think this is just, again, this is part of my journey, is I honor the angel over this nation. Is there anything wrong with honoring an angel? Is that wrong? If I say I honor Reverend Estelle and I honor Bishop John, is honor worship? I'm honoring them. Am I putting them in the place of God? So, angels, if I say I honor the angel over this nation, is that wrong? Are we together? I honor my angel. I honor the angel over this community and over this assembly. Because in the kingdom, one of the things that is the foundation, another foundation of the kingdom is honor, where we learn to honor each other. We learn to respect each other. Bethel Church says that honor is one of the keys to revival. When you develop a culture and a community of honor, it does not part from the least to the greatest. We honor each other. From the smallest of the small to the biggest of the big, we honor it. It does not matter what your title is. It does not matter what your name is. We've built an environment of honor. In the kingdom operates by honor. Because everybody carries something that you don't have. There's something they have. There's an image that they have inside of themselves that you don't have. Bishop and Reverend Estelle here have something that I don't have. And every time I interact with them, relationships. I know you guys are very strong at relationships. As we tend to be like this. What time is service start? 9. What time is it supposed to end? Okay, not that. But you understand. So I honor that. And the only way for that grace to flow into my life is by honoring it. If I don't honor it, that grace won't flow. Am I making sense? Your neighbor has something that you need. The only way for that to flow into your life is by honoring it. When I begin to honor the angel over this nation, because I know that there's an assignment. The reason why God has sent an angel to watch over this nation is because there's an assignment that our nation, that angel has. And by honoring that angel, I'm actually empowering it, not just to fulfill its assignment, but whatever is supposed to flow from that angel to us begins to flow. I don't know if that's making sense. Angels over businesses. Your business, most likely, I use that word most likely, your business has an angel. Honor that angel. Father, thank you for the angel of my business. God said when you're speaking to Moses, said, I'll send an angel ahead of you, and this angel shall bring you to the place that I've ordained for you. So, Father, thank you, because this angel for my business brings this business to the place that you've ordained for this business. Thank you that because of this angel, the people I'm supposed to meet, I meet. The people I'm not supposed to meet, I won't meet. Because part of the angel is to bring you to the place that God has ordained for you. That's why he sends that angel. to sort of hold your hands in the spiritual realm, because sometimes there's a relationship you're supposed to meet with and there's no way in the natural you can meet that relationship. This person is from what? Is from the eastern part of, or the western part of China, the coldest part of China, and you're supposed to meet with that person. And in the natural, there is no way. But in the spiritual, those connections are alive. And when your angel becomes activated, all of a sudden, pathways. And that's what I believe worship does. I believe worship creates pathways in the spirit. Pathways are being made to that person. And then when you begin to release your angel, what happens? That pathway is no longer just a spiritual pathway, but it now becomes a natural connection. All of a sudden, his name shows up in your Facebook page, or his contact shows up somewhere. You meet somebody who knows that person, and that connection is made just because you understood the part of honoring the angel that God had assigned for you. Honor the angel over the nation. When we are petitioning for this nation, because we understand that part of this nation getting to its place is God has sent an angel to oversee the nation. We honor that angel. And we say now as we petition, we ask you, God, because here as Zechariah is before the courts, they're angels. We have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to God the judge. Where the judge is, there is an innumerable company of angels. So these guys are working together. There's a partnership there to effect the decisions that have been made in the courts. So we honor these angels. We honor the host of heaven. We honor the armies of heaven that are going to implement when we begin to pray over the nation and release the host of heaven to go and begin to expose things that are being done in secret. I don't know everything that has been done in secret concerning this nation. I don't know what hidden contracts have been made by those in leadership. But what are we going to do? We ask God, expose it. That which has been done in secret shall be shouted from the mountaintop. So we release your angels now, whichever side it is on. Unfortunately, if you're on the wrong side, that sword will cut you down. But whichever side it is on, we release your angels to do what? Go and expose it. Go and expose that which has been done in secret. Let it be shouted at the mountaintop. Let the hidden things now be revealed, so that as we make a decision for the destiny of this nation, we can know what is being discussed about this nation in secret. Because sometimes you have no idea about the covenants that have been made. And you're choosing based on what we see in the outside, and we have no idea what is going on behind the scenes. Let me just mention this. It says, Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and standing before the angel. Verse 4, then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And to him he said, see, I have removed your iniquity from you. That word iniquity, if you go back into original Hebrew, that word iniquity means twisted. It's like a rope that has been twisted. But that word iniquity also means from the parrot. Now, this is a controversial area, and I'll just say this and leave it here. Bishop and Reverend Estelle will come and explain their position on this. But there are things that we get from our parents. That word iniquity means from the parents. If you look at the book of is it 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy, Paul talks to Timothy and tells Timothy about the gift that we received from your grandmother Lois, you received from your mother Eunice, and that is now in you. Am I making sense? And it talks about things that transfer generationally. Are we together? This is talking about addressing the same issue. And my belief, let me use that word, my belief, sometimes is that some of the things that we're contending with are also generational issues. Generational blessings, generational issues. It is said amongst the Freemasons, I don't know whether any of you has a Freemason in your bloodline, but what the Freemason does, what Freemasons do, is they take the blessing of the firstborn. And they take the blessing of the firstborn for generations. So if your father was a Freemason, he takes the blessing on his firstborn, he takes the blessing on the next generation firstborn, and takes the blessing on the third generation firstborn, and he takes all their wealth. Yes. That's how they do it. Yeah. So now you, who is a firstborn, next generation, you're struggling. I'm serious. You're struggling. You have no idea what the source of this problem is. Your children come, they're struggling. They have no idea what the source of this problem is. I don't know if I'm making sense. From their generations, not one generation, generations. Generations, plural. Generations, plural. Their destinies are completely messed up. And that's why if you come up in that bloodline, I don't know if that's making sense. If you come up in that bloodline, there are issues. There are issues, there are issues, there are issues, there are issues. And so one of the things that you need to deal with in the courts are some of those issues. Take them back. God, this is what the enemy is holding against this family line and this bloodline. And today, we are repenting on his behalf. We're not bringing him. We're repenting on his behalf. And we're applying the blood. Listen to me. Sometimes we are, do you all agree that we are suffering the consequences of what the decision that Adam made? Well, we are still born again, but we are still suffering those consequences. Am I not right? The blood of Jesus still cleanses, but we are still suffering those consequences. So it because some of these things is a journey, a step-by-step journey to deal with. God is showing you now, here, this is the problem. Deal with it. Here, this is, yes, the blood of Jesus is enough to cover all our issues, but there are issues that remain behind that God now takes you on a journey to deal with. The Bible says God did not remove all the enemy at one go, but he removed the enemy in bits and pieces. So there are some things that God still is almost like, I have no other explanation for this. Bits and pieces. Deal with this and deal with this and deal with this. There's a time last year, I think, when we were celebrating a birthday and my mom came and my mom mentioned that, let me use the word half family. I'm a part of half family, but let me use the word half family, has an issue with temper. And you know, I realized, and I think God had been dealing with me about that, but I realized, I think I have a temper issue. Sometimes you feel like, and you're just doing your best. Am I the only one? Pastor Mungai, am I the only one? You just do your best. You go and pour cold water on yourself, you know. Am I the only one? I had no idea where this, and the minute she said it, it's like a light bulb went on. I mean, this is a birthday party. We're talking about something else. But she mentioned that in passing, but I knew what God was saying. There and then, God just, I knew this is an issue I need to deal with in the courts. And I thought about my uncles, and I began to see the same thing, the same sort of short-temperedness, until guys, they don't even want to talk to each other. And you find these things traveling in family lines, and you wonder why. Let me give you another story. There's a group, I do some work, okay, let me not even go into that, whatever. But this family adopted a child. And this child was, when they adopted a child, it was 3 months after the child's mother passed on. So you're thinking the child has never known their mother. All that the child knows is this family. The child will not have the traits of their mother. Many years later, they began to notice that the traits of the mother are in the child. And I'm not talking about positive traits. I'm talking about negative traits. And they asked, what happened? Because this child was adopted within 3 months of the death of the mother. And by that time, she was about 2-3 months old. So she had no recollection at all of the mother. But many years later, you're discovering that there are traits in the child. And I'm not talking about positive traits that you saw in the mother. And you cannot explain it. You cannot explain it because this home, she has other children. They are fine where these issues are concerned. But this one, and when I began to understand about the courts and taking these issues to the courts, I began to understand where the problem is. There are sometimes we need to go and deal with the issues of our fathers. Gideon was told to deal with the altar in his father's house. Do you know why he was told to deal with the altar in his father's house? Because that altar was an altar to Baal. The guys that God was sending Gideon against used to worship Baal. If you're going to fight an enemy that is in your house, how do you succeed? If you're going to fight corruption and corruption is in your DNA, how do you succeed? Am I making sense? If you're going to fight immorality and immorality is in you, how do you succeed? The first thing you deal with is your own house. And that's why Gideon was told, first deal with these altars. Deal with these things at home. Then after you've dealt with these things at home, then you can go and deal with these things outside there. In the New Testament, it's put this way. First deal with the log in your eye. Then you'll be able to see clearly to deal with what? The speck in your brother's eye. So if you're busy dealing with, oh, my brother hates me, oh, my brother is cursing me, this is the reason why I am where I am, you have not dealt with the log in your eye. So deal with your issue first. Deal with your junk first. Take yourself to court and say, God, you know what? I have temper issues. Forgive me. But here I am. Deal with these issues. God, you know what? I don't like this wife of mine. Deal with it. Look, we've just been candid. I know we're all born again. We all love the Lord. We're all going to heaven. Hallelujah. But sometimes it is what it is. You know, I talk to people and say the people who struggle the hardest with unforgiveness are Christians. The people who have mental health issues are Christians. The people who have these issues, we are supposed to be born again. What happened? Yeah, it is born again at surface level. There are some depths we've not got into. Deal with these issues. Deal with these issues. Because when you deal with these issues, then you have now the authority to deal with national issues. You know, I've been in this intercessor movement for a while, and many people rush to deal with national issues. We want to bind Raila. We want to bind Ruto. Before you bind Raila and bind Ruto, just bind yourself. Are we together? Because you're going to fight this guy, and whatever you're binding that guy is in you. You'll be in trouble. So first deal with yourself. Deal with your own house. Then after you've dealt with your house, then you can go and deal with their houses. I need to wind up here. Why do we go to courts? Allow me to wind up with this. One, we go to courts to unlock our destinies. So sometimes businesses are stuck. Sometimes destinies are stuck. And they're stuck because they are court issues that need to be dealt with. We go to court to unlock our destinies. Number two, we go to court to get judgments over issues. This is against accusations. Sometimes it's accusations you're contending with, and that's why life is going round in circles. We go to court to deal, to get judgments over issues, to deal with accusations. Number three, we go to court to deal with iniquity. Now, iniquity, I said, from the parent. Sometimes there are bloodline issues that you need to contend with, and you need to deal with. We go to court to contend with those bloodline issues and deal with them, and make sure. You know, sometimes these things, I don't like going too deep into this thing because many people have many beliefs about this, but sometimes I think things jumping to the next generation. And you see traits in them that maybe they passed you by, but you see the same thing in your grandfather, your grandma. We need to stop it. Cut it off. That we are from us, we're beginning a godly generation, a godly seed. Are we together? That the generation that comes from our loins will have a different testimony, will have a different legacy. And number four, why do we deal with court issues? Because we are dealing with church, we're dealing with regional, or we're dealing with national issues. So sometimes there are accusations that are leveled against this church. And the church stagnates. Or the church, you begin to discover resources drying up. You discover things and you do not know what is happening. And it's because of the accusations. And when we go and stand, and this is, I'm now looking, talking to intercessors, when you deal with this, then you remove every opportunity, every pedestal that the enemy has to bring accusation. And you release the church to become what God has called it to become. I believe many believers, especially those who are called to occupy high places in government and high places in business, that one of the reasons why they never get there is because there are court issues against them. So you get to a certain place where your adversaries, the people around you, are using spiritual forces of wickedness against you, and you don't understand how to deal with the issue. One of the things that blessed me about this court message, and let me just say this as we finish. A good preacher finishes three times, so this is the second time we're finishing. when we get into practicalities next week, we are not operating from this realm. We step into the realm of the courts. Am I making sense? So a lot of our friends from other religions know how to do this more than we know. And one of the challenges, at least I have felt, is we should become sharp in the spirit. We should know when this issue happens, this is how we're going to deal with this issue and get results. But we don't. Sometimes our weapons are blunt. This is now about sharpening our weapons, becoming more accurate, becoming more precise, so that we do what we need to do when we get there. Hallelujah. The last thing, and maybe we can do this as we wind up, because I think it's important to pray, and not necessarily about the courts, but can we honor our angels? Can we honor our angels? Can we honor the angel over this house? Can we honor, the last time I was here, I was talking about technology. Can we honor the angel of technology and ask this angel to lead us to where we're supposed to go? Is that okay? Yes, we've talked about honoring angels and we agreed it is okay to honor angels. And we quoted that scripture that says that my angel shall go before you to bring you to the place I have ordained for you. So we're honoring our angels and we're asking angels, take us to where we're supposed to go. Then after that, we can pray in the spirit. Is that okay? Okay. So let's lift up our voices and let's just honor our angels. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless you. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Zebarega zepa koria mama ndorobo bo shenterege boria mama zai. Zabarega zepa koria mama ndorobo bo shenterege boria mama ze. Zabarega zepa koria mama ndorobo bo shenterebe bezai. Let's just begin to honor our angels. Father, we honor the angels over the families that are represented here. Lord, we honor the angels over every individual that is here, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we just honor what these angels carry. We honor their capacity to bring them to a place of rest, to the place that you've ordained for them in the name of Jesus. So Lord, even as we honor these angels, oh God, we thank you because these angels are activated to bring every one of us to that place of rest that you've ordained for us in the name of Jesus. Father, we honor the angels of our businesses, oh Lord. Lord, we honor the angels, Lord, even over Karen, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I honor the angel, Lord, even over this community, over this church, over Mount Zion, oh God, in the name of Jesus. I honor the assignment that you've given to this angel. And Father, Lord, today I petition, Lord, that this angel would bring us as a community, would bring Mount Zion to the place that you've ordained for Mount Zion, even in this season, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we honor the angel of technology that you've released into this assembly, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord, we activate that angel over every businessman, over every enterprise, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we say that this angel of technology brings every one of us as individuals and as a business to the place that you've ordained for us. Oh God, in the name of Jesus. Now, if you can pray in the spirit, just begin to pray in the spirit. The place that you've ordained for us, O Lord. The place that you have ordained for us, O Lord, in the name of Jesus.
I have two more prayer points. Let's just pray over them very briefly. One, I want every one of us to honor the angel of technology that God has released into this assembly. And let's petition heaven. Let's petition the courts that this angel will show us how this technology applies to us. As individuals or our businesses or our places of work, that this angel would lead us and direct us and show us how this technology applies to us in the name of Jesus. So let's just take that prayer point. Father, we just thank you for the angel of technology, oh God. We are so grateful, Lord, for technology that you've ordained for this house and for this community in the name of Jesus. Father, we are so grateful for what eye has not seen. We're grateful for what ear has not heard. We're grateful for the things that have not even entered into our hearts of men in the name of Jesus. Zeba goria mama ando robobo sakara gaboria mama zai rababa sika. Lord, we petition the courts today, O Lord, that this angel of technology would be activated in every business, O Lord, that this angel of technology would be activated in every family, O God, that this angel of technology would bring every business, every family, every individual to the space that you've called them to occupy, Lord, even in this season, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you because this angel is activated in the name of Jesus. We thank you for pathways that open up in the spiritual realm, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for doors and opportunities that begin to unlock for every one of us, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for that which eye has not seen. We thank you, Lord, for that which ear has not heard. We thank you, Lord, for that which has not even entered into the hearts of men. Lord, these things begin to unlock for us, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We bless you and we honor you. Hallelujah. My last prayer point, I want you to hold your neighbor's hands and I want you to ask God to wipe away every form of shame. Wipe away every form of shame. Wipe away every form of shame in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The Bible says that instead of shame, there will be double honor. I think that's Isaiah 65 or Isaiah 62. We want to declare over them that instead of shame, there will be double honor. Hallelujah. Father, we ask you this evening, this afternoon rather, Lord, to wipe away every shame, every form of shame from our neighbors, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, wipe away every form of shame in their lives in Jesus' name. Father, we declare over them that, Lord, instead of shame, there shall be double honor. Lord, we say instead of shame, there shall be double honor in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we begin to decree over every life here. Lord, we decree over every person here. We decree, Lord, that as we step into this week, Lord, we step into a week of double honor in the name of Jesus. Lord, we say double for our trouble in Jesus' name. Lord, as we step into this week, Lord God, we say that you do amazing things in the name of Jesus. Lord, you wipe away every shame. Lord, you wipe away every tear in the name of Jesus. Lord, we say that the blood of Jesus reaches into our bloodlines and reaches into our DNA, oh God, in the name of Jesus, sanctifying, purifying, purging, cleansing, oh God. And Lord, we say today, instead of shame, double honor, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Instead of shame, double honor. Instead of shame, double honor. Instead of shame, double honor. Instead of shame, Lord, we declare that there shall be double honor in the name of Jesus. We bless you, Lord. We glorify you. Zabarega zepa koria mama zai. Rebaba shenterege boria mama zai. Rababa seke zebe goria mama zai. Ribaba seka zeba goria mama zai. Rababa shenterege boria mama zai. Lord, we say you have come to a turning point in the name of Jesus. Father, we declare your people have come to a turning point in the name of Jesus. No more shame. Lord, no more shame, Lord, no more shame in the name of Jesus. Ore baba seka zepa koria mama zai. Rababa shentere bebe ze. Lord, instead we activate angels of restoration. And Lord, we say there shall be a restoration of everything that the enemy has stolen in their lives, oh God, in the name of Jesus. No more shame, oh God, in Jesus' mighty name. We bless you and we honor you. Hallelujah. And Father, I just honor you this afternoon. Father, Lord, I honor you first for the density of your presence in this place, oh God. I honor you, Lord, for the angels that you have attached to this house and to this community, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we bless you for everything that these angels carry. We thank you, Father, Lord, because what these angels carry are released into the life of every individual who comes under the covering of this house, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord, I ask you today to wipe away every shame in the name of Jesus. Lord, wipe away every tear and wipe away every form of shame. And Father, we decree today that instead of shame, there shall be double honor in the name of Jesus. Lord, we decree today that even as we step into this week, oh God, Father, we step into a week of double honor in the name of Jesus. Father, we say double for our trouble, oh God, in Jesus' mighty name. Father, Lord, where we have been struggling, Lord, not realizing, Lord, that there is a garment of shame over us, oh God. Lord, today I petition the courts, oh Lord. I say, Lord, the blood of Jesus speaks on behalf of every one of our lives, oh God, in the name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus shuts the door to shame, oh God, in Jesus' name. Lord God, because of that blood, we receive a new garment, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. We receive a garment that says double honor. We receive a garment that says double for your trouble. We receive a garment that says more than enough, oh Lord. We receive a garment that says abundance in the name of Jesus. And Lord, as we step into this week, oh God, we thank you because your angels are activated to establish this in our lives, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you because the blood of Jesus speaks better things on our behalf than the blood of Abel, oh God. We bless you and we honor you. And Father, we thank you for this journey into the courts of heaven. We ask that, Lord, you make this very real to us, oh Lord. You begin to show us, you begin to reveal to us, even in the watches of the night, where the accusations are coming from. Lord, what we need to do to deal with those accusations, oh Lord. So that, Lord, as we gather, Lord, we would silence every voice of accusation, oh God. Lord, as we gather, Lord, we would silence every every footstool, every stepping stone that the enemy has had against us as families, as individuals, oh Lord, and we'll step into a greater season of breakthrough in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, for revealing to us, even in our businesses, Lord, what the issues are and what the areas of contention are, so that, Lord God, as we petition the courts of heaven, there would be a divine reversal, a divine turning around in every business, in every family, in every enterprise represented here. We bless you and we honor you in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody says, let's give God a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah.